This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, someone at CNN's in trouble. Someone's head is going to roll over there at CNN. Maybe they didn't get the memo. But last night, Erin Burnett of CNN, CNN host, you know, she's nobody. But she decided to put an interesting guest on her show. That would be one RFK Jr. She perhaps didn't hear. He is supposed to be blackballed. He doesn't appear on MSNBC or NBC or ABC. They don't like what he's doing here. He is tilting the election toward the evil orange man in all the polls. RFK Jr. is helping Trump, hurting Biden, and that's a problem. So their solution to the problem is to pretend he doesn't exist for the most part. But the man is tireless and he is impressive. I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not sure I would ever vote for him, but he comes in the studio. He brings no notes. He doesn't have handlers around him. He speaks from the heart. He seems to genuinely want to make a difference. And you could see him on Fox News. You could see him on Newsmax. I just saw him on Newsmax this morning. But he's not supposed to appear on CNN. Somehow, he made it past security and sat down with Erin Burnett. And it was an interesting interview because, again, RFK Jr. just talks. He just answers questions. He has actual thoughts. We're so used to Joe Biden being handled and Donald Trump being abused by these people and lied about by these people. RFK Jr., a Kennedy, comes in. And for the most part, these people have spent their lives worshiping Kennedys. And they get so confused when they sit down with RFK Jr. They cannot believe he's not some just prototype Democrat, gives the same old answers to their questions, that he actually has some independent thoughts, some interesting thoughts. And Erin Burnett, CNN host, gets around to the usual talking point you get from these talking heads, from these brainless idiots in the mainstream media, which is Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Make no mistake, that is the theme going forward for the next 7 months. Joe Biden, when he speaks, will say, Donald Trump, threat to democracy. I just watched a whole segment on MSNBC where they talked about what a existential threat Donald Trump is to democracy. They never explain. They never explain what they're talking about. What exactly makes him a threat to democracy? Well, January 6th. Okay, January 6th. Whatever. How is that a threat to democracy? Trump told him to march peacefully and patriotically. We've gone over this 1,000 times. He was not charged with insurrection, obviously, or sedition or treason. Everybody knows it's just a made-up Biden talking point that is happily echoed by his surrogates in the media. So you go with this theme, and RFK, you know, he could have just said, what the hell are you talking about, Erin Burnett? Can we stick to the issues and not deal with this made-up nonsense about how Trump, who's already been president for 4 years, is a threat to democracy, is going to overthrow, is going to use the security state to advance his agenda? It's all just nonsense, and everyone knows it, but they're playing along. So RFK sits down. And he shocks Erin Burnett. He says, you know what? Donald Trump might be a threat to democracy and, you know, doesn't really get into why. But Joe Biden is a bigger threat, which is absolute, which is a fact. That's not even debatable. Joe Biden is a much bigger threat, as he's shown for 3 months, 3 years and 3 months. Joe Biden used the FBI, the CIA, the Justice, the DOJ, to go after his political enemies. Joe Biden has put his enemies in prison. Peter Navarro, a trade advisor to Donald Trump, 74 years old, I believe, is sitting in jail in Florida today. Donald Trump is facing 91 felony counts. They're trying to put their adversary in prison, but he's the threat to democracy. It's just upside down and backwards. The sky is green. water is not wet. It's just factually incorrect and insane. Donald Trump's the real threat, but Joe Biden, who is working hard to keep RFK off the ballot everywhere. Hell, they wouldn't let him in the Democrat race. They wouldn't welcome him and say, let's have a debate. You know, let's exchange ideas and see which man wins. No, can't do that. We must stop him, shut him up, shut him down. And on top of that, as RFK mentions, they won't provide him Secret Service protection. The son of RFK, the nephew of JFK, who has got countless threats on his life, especially since he became a threat to Biden, and they won't protect him. That's a threat to democracy. But RFK just sits down casually, no notes, again, no teleprompter, and just says, let's have a conversation. And Aaron Burnett says, do you really, really think Joe Biden's a threat to our guy, my guy, is a threat to democracy? She's incredulous. She's also dumb, and he's smart. So it's not really a fair fight. But let's watch this this guy who slipped past security at CNN and actually made it on the air and shocked the host. Go ahead.
When people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal Biden?
I mean, listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give the access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
to democracy. Donald Trump, of course, tried to overturn a free and fair election. He tried to overturn one, right? He's still fighting in court.
Yes.
He said, how is that not a threat to democracy?
Well, I think that is a threat to democracy. If trying to overthrow the election clearly is a threat to democracy. But the question was, who is a worse threat to democracy? And what I would say is, I'm not going to answer that question, but I can argue that President Biden is, because the First Amendment, Aaron, is the most important. Adams and Hamilton and Madison said, we put the guarantee of freedom of expression in the First Amendment because all of our other constitutional rights depend on it. If you have a government that can silence its opponents, it has license for any atrocity.
So just to be clear, you're saying you could make an argument that President Biden is a worse threat to democracy than Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
That's what you just said.
But who else has ever tried to censor, what president in history has ever tried to censor political opponents? What president has weaponized the federal agency?
She is, she's shocked and disappointed. Oh no, oh no. He's making a real case. And again, it's not hard to make. It's not even debatable. The idea that Trump's the real threat, it's just a talking point from the Biden regime to their surrogates in the media to be repeated over and over again until they convince people that somehow Trump is going to overthrow democracy. I mean, they say it every day and they never make the case. RFK Jr. just there in 2 minutes made the case, clear case, that the guy in the White House, 37 hours after taking the oath, was trying to stop his critics from speaking, using the social media platforms. He would do the same to the New York Times and Washington Post, but he doesn't have to. He knows they're in the tank. But he used his contacts with the social media platforms to stop RFK Jr. and thousands of others from speaking out. And she's like, well, yeah, but Trump tried to overthrow an election. What? What does that even mean, overthrow an election? It's just so insane. But hey, get used to it. We have 7 more months of this, and I'm going to guess you're not going to see RFK on CNN again. He's been blackballed by the media, who's so concerned about democracy that they won't stop a guy who's polling at between 8 and 18%. They want to stop him from speaking, stop him from talking, because they know he's a threat to Joe Biden. If RFK was taking votes from Trump, he would be on the air constantly. He'd be everywhere. He'd be part of the Morning Joe team, where they put 17 people on a panel and all say the same thing over and over again. Tom Elliott from Gravian, who's a great follow, has a thread on Biden, 16 reasons Biden is worse for democracy than Trump. And it is devastating. I mean, he goes through all the the efforts the Biden regime went through to stop COVID critics, vaccine critics, just shut them down. Not debate them, stop them, shut them down. And then you go through one after another, just efforts they did, they went through to censor and in times imprison his political opponents, his adversaries. And it's incredible. This is a clip of Joe Biden bragging about putting away all the January 6th defendants. And he talks about 1,200 or 1,100 people, which is, I think 1,200 have been charged and convicted. Maybe 100 were violent, maybe 100 assaulted police officers or did damage to the Capitol. The rest are convicted for parading, trespassing, disturbing the peace, and they're doing hard time. And the president is boasting and bragging. By the way, a man who has his supporters are out rioting today in support of Hamas, who were rioting in 2020 in support of BLM, who are disrupting Catholic masses, who are attacking Jewish students for being Jewish because, you know, Israel. The idea that this guy is not a bigger threat to democracy is absolute insanity, but that's where we are today. This is Joe Biden not talking about January 6th, bragging, literally bragging about putting grandmothers who paraded through the Capitol in prison. Let's watch.
One desperate act available to him, the violence of January the 6th. And since that day, more than 1,200 people have been charged for their assault on the Capitol. Nearly 900 of them have been convicted or pled guilty. Collectively to date, they have been sentenced to more than 840 years in prison. What's Trump done? Instead of calling them criminals, he's called these insurrectionists patriots. They're patriots. And he promised to pardon them if he returns to office. Trump said that there was a lot of love on January the 6th. The rest of the nation, including law enforcement, saw a lot of hate and violence. One Capitol police officer called it a medieval battle. That same officer called vile rape, was called vile racist names. He said he was more afraid.
No, there's no proof that he was called vile racist names. There was cameras everywhere. No proof. On top of that, whistleblowers report that Biden officials forced them to drop investigations into the Biden family. Biden's DOJ gave a get out of jail free card to people violating the same laws they're currently prosecuting Trump for. He supported Zelensky, who canceled elections in Ukraine. The CIA bragged about the journalist who was murdered by Zelensky in Ukraine. The list goes on and on. Biden blocked his only rival from appearing on Democratic primary ballots, and they're fighting to stop him from appearing on ballots around the country. The FBI used domestic surveillance powers against U.S. citizens. His DOJ is working with local prosecutors in New York and Atlanta to imprison Donald Trump. Of course, the border. This guy's not a threat to democracy. He's allowed 10 million illegal aliens into this country, hoping they will vote soon for his party. Democrats blocked an amendment that would stop illegal immigrants from voting. That's something he supports. His party stopped an amendment from blocking illegal immigrants from voting. Oh, but Trump, they're expanding ways in cities that illegal immigrants can vote. But Trump's the real threat to democracy. I'll tell you what, in their mind is a threat to democracy? Anybody who stands in Joe Biden's way. This thoroughly corrupt, dementia-riddled man wants 4 more years, which is just crazy to even think of him lasting 4 more years. But right now, RFK is indeed a real threat. This is from Daily Caller this morning. In a 5-way race with Trump, if you add in Cornel West, Jill Stein, and RFK Jr., the independents are getting 5.5% support in the battleground state of North Carolina. And which Biden won by 1.3%, he loses in a blowout. Trump's lead against Biden grows in swing states of Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin when Kennedy and West and Stein are in the race. Trump wins all the swing states, and his lead grows if RFK is on the ballot. And he's only on the ballot in one state, but he's working hard to get on the ballot in many, many other states. He's closing in on ballot access in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, South Carolina, and New Hampshire. So if he's on the ballot in those states, Trump wins, and it's not even close. And their answer to that is, let's not debate him on the issues. Let's stop him from appearing on the ballot and tell everybody that Trump is the real threat to democracy. It's such a lie. Everything he says, everything his administration says is a lie. Which brings us, of course, to Oyster Sunday. We'll get to Joe Biden was asked about delivering a proclamation celebrating Trans Visibility Day on Easter Sunday. There was no proclamation about Easter, but there was indeed a proclamation about Trans Visibility Day, which is one of 145 days celebrating the LGBTQ crowd. And we went over this yesterday, and Biden had a response, and so did KJP, and it was exactly what you'd expect, a flat-out lie. We'll get to that. And another amazing thread, J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter and a billionaire, is threatening the police in Scotland to put her in jail for correctly gendering people. That's where we are in Scotland. You know that First Amendment RFK was just talking about? That's what stands between us and Scotland, where they're going to imprison people who correctly gender transgender folks. And we got to get to the big game last night. I spent 2 hours watching girls basketball, and it was a blast. And Caitlin Clark is just an amazing basketball player. In fact, one talk show host, famous talk show host, says she should skip the WNBA and go to the NBA, which is just laughable. We'll get to that and lots more, but first. History, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. Did you study these things in school? Maybe not. And if you did, like me, you probably didn't pay attention, and you wish you did. That's why I'm so excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. You heard me right. That's free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, The Meaning and History of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it has been undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. Wow, talk about a relevant course. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Jerry to enroll. There's no cost, and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Jerry to register. Well, Joe Biden appeared publicly yesterday, which is something he's not going to do today. You know, that guy who says, just watch me, and all his surrogates say, they can't keep up. Well, he's taking a day off, a rest day, took a 3-day weekend, Camp David, came back, appeared on the White House lawn with kids. He got to sniff a couple, by the way. He got some sniffs in, kids rolling their Easter eggs, and now he's gone. Another rest day. Trump's in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Watch
today,
me.
Where you will hear the name. What is her first name? Her name is Ruby Garcia. Ruby Garcia is an American who was murdered by an illegal alien in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Trump will be there today talking about the border. Good move. I believe he's going to Wisconsin as well. And Joe Biden will be resting because yesterday was a big day out there rolling Easter eggs and hanging with the oyster bunnies. And do we have that? Do we have him introducing the oyster bunnies, which, by the way, one girl, one boy, one male, one female. Those are the bunnies who appeared with Biden. And this time, at least he didn't need the Easter bunnies to direct him where to go like last year. But he was out there on the balcony with the oyster bunnies. And let's listen as he introduces them. Go ahead.
God bless you all. Enjoy the day. And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to oyster bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Say hello to the oyster bunnies. Well, of course, the big question after Sunday's sacrilegious proclamation celebrating men who pretend to be women on Easter Sunday in this silly, made-up transgender day of visibility, which is just absurd. There is nobody more visible today than transgender people. Nobody, no group of people with such small numbers. I mean, much fewer than 1% of Americans are transgender, and we celebrate them for literally almost half the year, including Easter Sunday. We'll get to the founder of this lovely holiday, but I want to get to Biden being asked about it. There is no sound of this. But he was asked why he did a proclamation celebrating, you know, men pretending to be women and men who play women's sports and go into women's locker rooms. His answer was, I didn't do that. There is literally a proclamation, literally on White House letterhead saying, do we have the actual proclamation? Literally, he said, honored those, obviously, those brave and whatever people, brave and resilient. You know those resilient people that might kill themselves if you misgender them? They're so resilient. They're so resilient and courageous and celebrating their accomplishments, which he doesn't list any. They never do because they don't have any. But he's thought Easter Sunday was a good day to celebrate transgender folks. I'm going to read a little of the proclamation. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility. He's asked why you issued this proclamation on Easter. He said, I didn't do that. It's incredible. His fallback position is just lie and expect, you know, no fact checkers or no one in the mainstream media to call him on it. But this was kind of a tough one. I didn't do that. And we're looking at the proclamation. I just read you the proclamation. And no big deal. Yeah, Trump, he's a threat. He's a liar. But listen to this guy. And of course, KJP, who is the woman who, let's review, 3 days after a transgender shooter in Nashville, Tennessee, slaughtered 6 innocent people, including 3 children, 3 days after that, went to the podium to honor transgender folks and their courage.
Don't forget, there was 7 victims that day, Jerry.
Oh, that's right, 7 victims that day. She never mentioned the names of the heroic cops. And if you forget, it's just amazing. The video, these cops, they were there in less than 6 minutes. They were in the school. They went down the hallway. They went to the sound of the gunfire, and they took out the threat. Those heroes, no mention of them, but she wanted to acknowledge the courage and resilience of brave transgender folks 3 days after a brave transgender folk murdered 3 little kids and 6 people, innocent people, in a school in Nashville. But here she is yesterday addressing the controversy. Go ahead.
So the criticism over the Transgender Day of Visibility, the White House said that the president wouldn't abuse his faith for political purposes. Does the president think that's what Republicans are doing?
I mean, look, just a couple of things. And really, so surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend.
And Trump's border is the reason this is all happening.
Untrue. It is 100% true. She is lying as usual. And she's not seeking to divide. They just want to honor transgender people on Easter Sunday. Barack Obama, there was a Sunday when Obama was in the White House. He didn't issue a proclamation on March 31st honoring transgender people on Easter Sunday. Biden is the first. Of course, Biden might be telling the truth. He might not even know he did this. That's a real question. That's a real question about a real, well, the actual sitting president. Did he know he issued a proclamation on Easter Sunday? He might not know. Maybe it was KJP. Maybe it was some other staffer, because we know they're all radical lunatics. They're all 26-year-old, you know, gender studies majors from Wesleyan. That's what they are. That's who runs the White House, at least the communications department. So in his defense, he might be so out of it that he didn't even know he did this. But I want to get back to the term she used, dignity. Dignity, the dignity of transgender folks. This is probably something they don't want you to see. They don't want you to know. But Transgender Day of Visibility, like most of the, like all of the 145 days on the calendar that are reserved to honor the LGBTQ people, was made up in 2007, I believe, by a guy pretending to be a woman. His name is Rachel Crandall Crocker. let's just listen. You know, he obviously, he's got something to be proud of. It's an international day now, a day of visibility for the people who are more visible than any group in our culture. This is the founder of this day, a day on which the president of the United States went out of his way, or at least his handlers did, to honor these folks who, you know, deserve dignity and respect for their accomplishments and their courage. Let's listen to Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel Crandall Crocker, and I'm executive director of Transgender Michigan, and I am founder and organizer of the International Transgender Day of Visibility. And I want to share with you how that all happened.
I couldn't, and this was 20 years ago, I could not find a job. I ended up going in business by myself. If anyone is looking for the best therapist ever and willing to come all the way down to the Detroit area, I will.
That's a therapist. And we're looking at the Penguin because he looks like the Penguin. And that guy is the reason the president issued a proclamation on Easter Sunday. We're supposed to honor the dignity and courage of that guy. Now, you might say he has a stutter, but I should note, if you're just listening, he appears to have a alcoholic beverage in his hand while stammering and stuttering through that. How did we get to this point? In 25, 50 years, we're going to look back and say, what? The president honored that guy on Easter Sunday? Man, we have lost our way. But I will say this, we're not quite as lost as Scotland, as the UK. Although I have to say that parts of Europe, really liberal parts of Europe, like Scandinavia, they're waking up. They're banning puberty blockers, surgery for minors. We are so far gone. We are so far out on the fringe. There has to be a correction soon. We have to wake up to this and stop the madness. But we'll see. We'll get to the latest from Scotland, where J.K. Rowling may soon be going to prison. We'll tell you why, and we'll get to Caitlin Clark and the Larry Bird-ish, the Larry Bird-esque performance last night, and tell you what one idiotic radio host thinks Caitlin should do next. But first,
excuse me.
If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. You know, when I get my car inspected, for some reason, I always wait till the last minute, the last day. When I pay Ironhead, I always wait till the last minute. And while most of the time it works out, the one thing in life you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, well, I'll look into that later. No, this isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're approved instantly. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So go to ladderlife.com/Jerry today to see if you're instantly approved. That's LADDER life.com/Jerry G-E-R-R-Y, ladderlife.com/Jerry. J.K. Rowling, if you don't know, is the author of Harry Potter. I'm not a fan, a big reader. My daughter is was when she was younger, crazy fanatic. She read every book like in one sitting. We counted. She read the first book 40 times. She'd finish it and just start over. She still loves Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling is a billionaire, which means she has F-U money. And she doesn't hesitate to say F-U to the authorities in Scotland. She's from England. I believe she lives in Scotland much of the time. She has castles everywhere, which is a good thing. J.K. Rowling is a hero. She doesn't care if they threaten her with prison or anything else. She takes on the mob. She's just one woman, one little middle-aged woman, and she is not afraid of the trans mob at all. So they just passed a law. Let me get the details on this law. It's unbelievable that we've reached this point in the West, in Scotland. Here it is. J.K. Rowling is daring police in her native Scotland to arrest her for misgendering transgender people after a new hate crime law took effect Monday. That would be yesterday. She writes on X, freedom of speech and belief are at an end in Scotland if the accurate description of biological sex is deemed criminal. She says, I'm currently out of the country, but what I've written here on X qualifies as an offense under the terms of the new act. I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of Scottish enlightenment. The Scottish safety minister, Shobin Brown, said that Rowling's remarks could be reported to police and investigated. Whether it's criminal, it's up to the police. Scotland's new hate crime law bans hatred on the basis of age, disability, race, religion, sexual orientation, or transgender identity. So you get arrested if you espouse hate, which is bizarre on its face. I mean, hate's a human emotion. Everybody hates. Some things you should hate. I mean, we should hate pedophiles, correct? So everybody hates. It's part of being a human being. But now we're going to police it. We're going to say you hate the wrong person. We're going to say calling a man like Rachel Crockett a man is hate. You hurt his feelings. So the police are going to knock on your door. Again, if we didn't have the First Amendment, this would be happening here, and the current administration would be 100% behind this. But fortunately, that pesky little First Amendment gets in the way. But J.K. Rowling, in response on the day this law took effect, posted a savage Twitter thread where she just pointed out all these men, some of whom we've talked about, who committed just heinous crimes and then decided they were women and were put in women's prison where they could continue the reign of terror. And she's got, Scottish convicted double racist rapist, Isla Brown, found her true authentic female self shortly before she was due to be sentenced. Misgendering is hate. So respect Isla's pronouns. And she's got a picture of him. He's bald. He's got a face tattoo. And then when he got convicted, put on a wig and some yoga pants and went to a woman's prison. And it's one after another. How about this one? Fragile flower, Katie Dolatowski, 6'5", was sent to a woman's prison after conviction. This ensured she would be protected from violent predatory men. Unlike the 10-year-old girl Katie sexually assaulted in a woman's bathroom. So he assaults a 10-year-old girl, gets convicted, gets sentenced, puts on a wig and a dress, and goes to a woman's prison. And she goes through a whole list, and one is more just heinous than the other. And she's got a picture. Look at the guy playing rugby whatever that is. He's bald. And he's playing women's rugby, and he's just crushing some woman. But he's decided he was a girl one day. So he's brave. He's courageous. He's resilient. And literally, there's what is there on this thing? 10 or 12 examples of this. And she gets to the end, and J.K. Rowling writes, "Only kidding. Obviously, the people mentioned above aren't women at all, but men, every last one of them. In passing the Scottish Hate Crime Act, Scottish lawmakers seem to have placed a higher value, it's a long thread, on the feelings of men performing their idea of femaleness, however misogynistically or opportunistically, than the rights and freedoms of actual women and girls." She goes on a long screed against this law and says, "Come get me. Come get me." This, I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping she gets arrested, because this will be international news and it will draw attention to this absolute insanity we're living through, where these men, these monsters, these predators are going to women's prisons where they can continue to have their way with women. And she points that out, and they're threatening to arrest her for misgendering rapists. I mean, we've lost our way in this country when we're honoring Rachel Crockett. We haven't got there yet, but we're on our way. We are on our way. But speaking of on her way, Caitlin Clark is on to the Final Four. Yes, I still can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm watching girls basketball. As I tweeted, I now know more about the Iowa women's basketball team than I do about the 2024 Boston Red Sox. Mm. I know more players on the team. I've spent more time watching Iowa girls basketball. Last night was a great, great game. If you weren't paying attention, then I understand, but Iowa played LSU. Last year, LSU beat Iowa in the championship game to win the title. And at the end of the game, Angel Reese, the big star in LSU, taunted Caitlin Clark. It was a big deal, but Clark just kind of walked away. This time, Clark won and was just otherworldly on the court. It's an amazing thing to watch, because she scored 41 points, 12 boards, 7 rebounds. Just an incredible performance. And they needed it. They needed it. She has to be spectacular for Iowa to win, and she was. And they won fairly easily in the end. Angel Reese fouled out. The crowd taunted her, but Caitlin Clark did not.
Surprisingly.
No taunting, no sniping, which was a little disappointing. Mm. What she, in the second half, she hit 6 threes, and they showed them. And every one of them was from NBA distance. And every one of them, she had someone in her face. She's a phenomenal shooter, and she's an even better passer. And she's just tough as hell. Cold-blooded, clutch, just an amazing player. Perhaps, and I've seen them all. I've seen all the greats. Perhaps the greatest women's player ever, which really pisses off. It really hurts some members of the media, including Jemele Hill, who says Clark is only getting this attention because she's white. And she lists a bunch of players, black players, who are better. Well, I'm telling you, nobody's better. If you watch, nobody's better. She was 9 for 20 from 3-point range, and not one was wide open. Not one did she get to set her feet, take a good look. Off balance, just launching from 25 feet and just ripping the heart out of LSU and Angel Reese. The only controversy was the LSU team walked off the court, and I didn't even notice till later, but during the anthem. They didn't stay on the floor for the anthem. They went back to their locker room, which was a big deal. The coach said it wasn't intentional. We didn't mean it. We didn't do it on purpose. And then after the game, of course, Angel Reese was whining about death threats. You know my rule. If you're going to claim to get death threats, let's see them. Let's see them. If she got death threats on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, or just in someone's center in the mail, all she has to do is hand it to one of her fans in the media. Hand it to Jemele Hill. Hand it to any of them. Hand it to this guy from the LA Times. The guy from the LA Times did a big story about LSU, and he called them, what was the term? Dirty debutantes. And He said the game was Louisiana hot sauce versus milk and cookies. He apologized after writing the piece. And then the LA Times edited, took all the references to, out. His name is Ben Bulch. And he gave not just an apology, a fawning, weeping, pathetic apology for writing the story and using terms that they didn't like. That's where we are. That would never happen with men. But, you know, I guess he thinks these women are delicate flowers. Angel Reese had a good game, not great. She had a good run, and then she went cold, and then she fouled out, and she didn't throw a tantrum. But after the game, she wanted to know, you know, life is so hard. She gets death threats, and she's been sexualized. Let's listen.
I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human, like, all this has happened since I won the national championship. And I said the other day, I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything. And I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
You know, she's idolized, adored. And usually she says, before the game, she said she just wants young black girls to look up to her. Not the white ones, just the black ones. But the little pity parties where she says she got death threats, well, you know, don't see them. She really getting death threats? I don't believe it. I never do. I rarely do when people say they get death threats. I mean, real death threats? Maybe RFK Jr. gets death threats, but you think someone really wants to kill Angel Reese? And she complains about it being sexualized, which is interesting for a woman who posed for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. This is sexualized, and this is what she did. And she's making a ton of money. God bless her. She should. She's got all the nil money coming in. She's going pro. She's going to make a lot more money. These people live in this bizarre bubble where they think life is so hard. I mean, life is hard for some people. Not you, Angel Reese. Life is good for you, and it will continue to be good. And good luck to you. Good effort. But it was great watching Caitlin Clark knock them out, knock them off. And now it's time for, you know, a little hyperbole, I would call this. And as we talked about before the show, Ironhead, I don't know if this is even real. Rob Parker, if you're not aware, he's a Detroit-based talk show host who just says stupid things for attention. He's the one that said Robert Griffith wasn't a brother, was a cornball brother. I don't know what that meant at the time, but he's been fired and for saying dumb stuff. But of course, if you're woke enough, you always have a job waiting for you. And he goes on the radio or whatever he was on. He goes on the show and says, Kayla Clark should just skip the WNBA and go right to the NBA. Can we hear this? Because I haven't decided. Obviously, it's stupid. It's insane. It's ridiculous. But, you know, he's looking for attention. And he says she would get wide open threes, which means to him, she'd be a good NBA player. It's just ridiculous on its face. But let's listen.
I am convinced that Caitlin Clark should play for an NBA team, Chris, not a WNBA team. And I want to say this before you poo-poo me or before you tell me I'm a sugarner, I'm crazy.
You beyond a sugarner.
Okay?
She ain't good enough.
Hold on. Let me say this. Period. This ain't no stunt like Eddie Goodell.
It must be, because you should know. You've covered the NBA. She good enough to play in the NBA?
Yes, she is. And I'm going to tell you why.
Embarrassed.
This is not Eddie Goodell with the White Sox, Christian. Remember they had the small person who gave up the bat and they tried to get him to walk every at bat? This is not that.
Well, of course
this is not a sideshow. This is not the bearded lady at the circus. This is not what it could be. The NBA right now is so soft as far as physical play. They allow almost anyone to just take three-point shots. And I believe, I really do, that she could put up threes in this man's NBA. This is not 2004. This is not the 90s, Chris. This is an NBA where the three ball is open. It's open to be had. And if you have players and you set her up somewhere.
Why isn't Jimmer Fredette in the NBA?
Because he can't play. He's not the all-time leading scorer.
He's better than Caitlin Clark.
He's not the all-time leading scorer. We just saw Steph Curry. We just saw Steph Curry go up against a female in a three-point shooting contest, right?
It's not about skills. Chris, it's about athleticism. It's about size. It's about strength. This is embarrassing for you.
No, it ain't. I'm telling you, she could play.
You don't
she
know
can
what
make
you're
shots
about.
In the NBA. If they get her on some screens, they open her up for some shots, some open looks.
Just stop. I mean, I guess I give Chris Broussard, who's on there with him, saying, you know, it's just stupid. It's just wrong. And maybe he doesn't even mean it, but I mean, that's just so silly. Caitlin Clark is, what, 6 feet tall, 150 pounds? She's a woman. A woman can't play in the NBA. They're going to give her open threes. She doesn't get open threes in NCAA women's basketball ever. So if someone's covering her, whatever. Why am I even discussing that? She's so dumb. First of all, Eddie Goodell got one at-bat. He's a little dwarf, and he got walked. Secondly, did Rob Parker just denigrate women with beards? Because I find that to be transphobic. I don't know. I mean, talk about a caveman. Women with beards, they have dignified. They're courageous and resilient. But it's just so silly that she could play in the NBA. She can't. I'm the worst player ever. And the NBA is 1,000 times better than Caitlin Clark. You know why? Because God made him that way. He was born that way. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. They're men. The idea that she could play a minute in the NBA is so absurd. And Broussard mentioned Jimmer Fredette. I watched the tournament. This kid from Oakland, Jack Golkey, who got Oakland to the, whatever it was, the Sweet 16, or was it the 32? Oakland from Michigan. He was an amazing shooter. He was bombing from everywhere. And after the game, he's like balding. He's like this, I don't know, 6 foot white guy. And he says, next year, some of these guys will be playing in the NBA. I'll be selling insurance. This guy is as good a shooter as Caitlin Clark and from long range. And he knows he doesn't have what it takes to play in the NBA because it's not just shooting. I mean, every gym in America has people who can shoot. That doesn't mean they could play in the NBA. And, you know, I thought about just ignoring this because it's so stupid. But Rob Parker, I guess, is pretending. She can't play. Honest to God, she can't play men's college basketball. She couldn't play for Oakland, the team that Jack Golkey played for. But this idiot says she can play in the NBA. All right, before we go, as I sat here, I got some really sad news. Former president of the Boston Red Sox, my friend Larry Lucchino, passed away at the age of 78. Let me just say, the Red Sox were a much better organization when Larry Lucchino was in charge. He was a great guy. He was not afraid to come on the air and debate, to off the air and debate. I mean, we used to have some epic showdowns on the air. And once they got rid of Larry, the whole model for the team changed. Instead of debating you, they wanted you fired. They wanted you off the air. They called your boss and said, don't let him talk about us that way. Lucchino was the opposite. He had guts. He'd look you in the eye and tell you you're insane or you're wrong and fight with you. He did a great job running that team. They never should have got rid of him. I didn't know. I don't even know if he was sick. I just found out. But it's a sad day when Larry Lucchino passes away at the age of 78. And the Red Sox have missed him since the day they bounced his ass. He was in Worcester with the Woo Sox. And I don't know. I remember last time I saw him, he was trying to get me to come out to Worcester to see a Woo Sox game. And of course, I said, yeah, I'll do it one of these days. I never did. I regret it now because Larry Lucchino was a terrific guy, a fighter, a fighter for the team, the Red Sox, a guy who wasn't afraid to battle you toe-to-toe. And since he's been gone, the organization's been run by a bunch of weasels. But, hey, on this day, we honor Larry Lucchino, great guy, R.I.P., Larry. But that will do it for today. Thanks, Ironhead. Thanks to everyone for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.